45.
Elon.
Brown, 45.
Hot.
You are listening to Any Given Sunday, Australia.
Good start. Yes, hello and welcome to the Any Given Sunday Australia podcast, the number one podcast in this household. Joining me again, even with the music going again, we'll only play it once, Danny. We will only play it once. I'm seeming a little bit like the work experience kid on the media again, but we have our actual work experience kid, Danny Webb, joining us again. How are you, mate?
I thought we were going to get our own intro tune, like, you know, our own individual intro tune. I've been here long enough that I should have my own. Go yours, then go mine. It'd be
yeah.
Great.
Well, I don't have one. We can work one out. But
Maybe next week.
Cardi puts in a lot of requests for music, so I guess it's probably time that you start doing that too.
Yeah, all I'm trying to do is fill his shoes here, so
jump on. I do believe I might be wrong, but this could be our last week without him. I'm not actually 100% sure on that. But
so we actually had a Any Given Sunday meeting without you last night. So I did actually see him and we had a little bit of chat about it. So he won't be here for Thursday, but then he should be back the following Tuesday. So yeah, this is our final week without him.
Yeah. Nice. That's exciting news. We're breaking news early, which is good.
Any news about Cardi is always going to be breaking news, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. We're going to get straight into just some injury news, just some quick ones. The Bucks right tackle, Tristan Wirfs, he'll be out with a few weeks with an ankle/foot injury. The 49ers running back, Elijah Mitchell, he exited the game against the Saints. You had an interesting little tidbit about that, didn't you?
Yeah. So he exited the game with a sprained left MCL. And he had actually just returned 2 weeks prior from a strained right MCL. So he's just done the same injury, just the other knee.
So it's, but good enough, well, good for them that they've brought in Christian McCaffrey, because that's kind of a plug and place that works. And the Packers, which we will talk a little bit more about later when we go through our game, but Aaron Rodgers, he exited the game in the third quarter with, it came across as ribs, but you said that you found a little bit more about it?
Yeah, so the initial fear was a punctured lung. So when he came off, the coach was saying, like, they saw him grimacing in pain, and Rodgers, being who Rodgers is, like, doesn't normally show much pain even when he is in pain. So the coach was like, what's going on? And he kept on pointing to this one spot. So the medical staff rushed him off straight away, as you saw him exiting the third, to not return. As they were rushing him off, their like initial thoughts was, yeah, that he punctured a lung. But the x-rays cleared him off that at the game, which was good. And now their only thoughts are potentially fractured ribs, but the x-rays were clear of that as well. And he's talking about potentially still playing this Sunday. So,
okay, good. We will discuss that a little bit more later, but we'll get into the actual news now. So for a long time coming, this has been a big story that the Cleveland Browns have actually activated Deshaun Watson. And they've waived their third-string quarterback, Josh Dobbs, unlucky for him. But he's in line to start this coming week against the Houston Texans, which is pretty big. It's a perfect game for him to come back to, really.
Yeah, coming back straight away to debut against your former team is pretty massive, and it's been exactly 700 days since he last played a regular season game.
Yeah, right.
It's a long time.
Yeah, it's. Do you think the crowd will be welcoming or?
It's hard to say because didn't the Browns sign him like after they traded for him or whatever? They signed him for like a 5-year deal as well, wasn't it? The biggest.
Yeah.
NFL history? No.
Yep. Yeah. So this year he's only getting $1 million this year, but he gets 236 or something over the next four. So yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So.
All guaranteed.
Yeah. Are they playing in Cleveland or is it at Houston? Do you know?
Nah, it's in Houston, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so that's, I'm going to guess the crowd are going to severely boo him. I don't think he's going to be very welcome back.
Yeah. Did you, being a Philly man, did you see Ben Simmons coming back to Philly? Do you think that was an appropriate reaction? Or?
Well, you know what the Philly fans are like across all sports. They are notorious. They're one of the worst fan groups, especially for becoming boo birds. They're known for it. There's multiple podcasts on it, on the history of like how poor the Philly fan base have been and can be. So I was expecting nothing less when Ben Simmons came back.
Yeah, yeah. I reckon that the Browns, the Texans fans will be pretty similar. I reckon they felt a little bit let down by Deshaun. So I feel like it'll be a pretty hostile kind of territory on the weekend. They probably won't hold back. You can't really make them hold back. So I imagine there'll be a few possibly derogatory terms slung around in his general direction, in his vicinity.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's the thing with like fans when they're supporting any sport. They just assume that the players aren't also people too, and they just attack them as if they're just pieces on a chessboard, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Now Lamar Jackson has met with his coach Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, the other Harbaugh, whichever Harbaugh it is. He kind of pulled him aside after an interesting tweet that Lamar Jackson tweeted out. Do you have any more on that, mate? You're a man of Twitter. You're a man about Twitter.
Yeah. So I've actually got the whole thing, and I'm not necessarily all that comfortable reading it out, but I will anyway because it's not my words. The tweet actually got deleted 3.5 hours after he posted it. It was a response to a tweet from someone saying, someone asking for over $250 million guaranteed like Jackson, games like this should not come down to the kicker, as in Justin Tucker, because there was, three times they were on the third down in the red zone and failed to convert to a touchdown. They had to resort to going for a field goal. So that's what that was actually about. But Lamar Jackson jumped on Twitter straight after the loss and then said, boy, shut the fuck up. Y'all be capping too much on this motherfucking app. Never smelt a football field. Never did shit but eat a dick. Which is pretty crazy. Pretty crazy response that he just had. So it's obviously been labeled as quite a homophobic response. The coach has jumped on and said, he's just begging his guys not to get into Twitter world right after the game, especially after a loss. He's gone in to defend him, just saying he wants to win, and I'm sure he's frustrated with all... I feel like I've lost your T-Mac, or is that me? So, yeah, so the coach is coming out and just said he just wants to win. I'm sure he's frustrated like we all are, and that's just a place you just don't want to live right after a game. And he knows and understands that. He's come out and said that he's... hold on, if we're getting T-Mac back. Bear with us. The next news article that we were going to talk about, whether T-Mac comes back or not, was Odell Beckham Jr. was taken off a plane for a health concern after he initially refused not to. So what happened here was he was on a plane and he was in and out of consciousness in his flight with American Airlines. And they were worried that he was going in and out of consciousness. And then when they asked him to put on a seatbelt, he refused. And then after his refusal, the police have to actually come. So the flight attendants called for the police and so the police and the fire brigade and medical came on, and the fear was that the flight attendants actually were fearful that he was seriously ill and that he wasn't going to make the 5-hour flight. T-Max just messaged me now just saying his internet's completely cut off, which is great. Yeah, so I don't like, there's a few different theories about this. The whole flight was actually ended up being delayed by multiple hours. Beckham Jr. never actually never actually boarded that flight again after police escorted him off. Beckham Jr. is actually fighting it. It said at no time was Mr. Beckham disruptive or combative. He was willing to comply with the seatbelt requirements, but the flight attendant wanted to prove that he had the authority to have Mr. Beckham removed from the flight. So it's a little bit of a he said, she said scenario. I can't see a reason for the flight attendants just kick him off just because it was a famous NFL player. It's probably more likely that he was going in and out of consciousness. Brendo actually has quite a funny story about that, which I'm sure he'll share next time he's on the podcast. But my theory is that potentially may have popped a sleeping pill a little bit too early on the flight just to get through his 5-hour flight. Just wanted to get it over and done nice and quickly. But I'm sure Brendo will jump on the podcast at one point and give us a little update on that. The next news article we have is frustration fuels as Denver Broncos sideline blow up in a loss. The video I've actually seen from this, it doesn't seem overly bad that it was just a lot of frustration. So the defense came off after not blocking on a field goal. Mike Purcell and the quarterback, Russell Wilson, were caught on camera, and it was clear that Mike Purcell said something to Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson responded, and then Mike Purcell blew up in his face. But it's all come out that it was just a lot of frustration, that the defense didn't do their job on defense. They just weren't doing good enough. Wilson said that they're all on the same page and there was no animosity following this. The Broncos are the lowest scoring team in the league at the moment with only 14.3 points per game. And Sunday's loss was their ninth this season where they scored 16 or fewer points and the fourth time they had only scored 10 or fewer points. So there's a lot to say about the offense and defense not performing in Denver. They can't just be held accountable for one or the other. Neither side is really getting it done. And there's been a lot of articles saying that there's a bit of a growing rift in the locker room this season because of the team's offense. They are constantly being asked about that. In the media, there's definitely no continuity between that team. Everyone gets a little bit frustrated in a loss, but to just be screaming at your quarterback on the side, I don't really know if that's really going to achieve much as far as the team moving forward. They keep on saying that they're all on the same page and they just don't quite have all the pieces together yet, but they should. They feel like they should be winning. It's their seventh loss in the past 8 games, which has obviously taken a toll, but I'm pretty sure that's the same as the Packers. We will get to that a little bit later. Now, normally, I think this is where we jump into and start talking about the games, which I'll just run through quickly on my own. First, we had the Bills defeat the Lions 28-25. Josh Allen threw for 253 yards and 2 touchdowns. He also rushed for 78 yards and 1 touchdown. Brown, the wide receiver, received 9 times for 122 yards and 1 touchdown for Detroit. So quite a close game for this one, only a field goal in it. Next up, we have the Cowboys at the Giants. Yep, the Cowboys.
And we're back recording, I think.
Oh, we're back.
We are back, officially. It's come straight back into it.
Again, because I've just been running through stuff, but, you know, I'd rather not have just had to speak to myself.
Nah, let's just keep rolling. Where are you at?
So I went through both the news articles. So I went through the Odell Beckham Jr. being taken off the plane, went through that, and I went through the Denver Broncos sideline blow-up. So if you have anything to comment on that, and then I was actually just about to start running through the games.
Ah, beauty. So I think the Denver Broncos ones is interesting. Just look at that. Straight back into it. I fucking love your professionalism, mate. That's gross. Someone must have hit a poll here or something because the internet. Nah.
You might have to go back and edit. That's fine. Edit some of the long pauses out because there was a little bit there where I was like, am I doing this on my own or am I not?
It'll be funny to watch anyway. I reckon it might stuff up the actual. It'll be a very interesting podcast, but the YouTube will keep rolling. We'll see what happens. But yeah, anyway, the Denver Broncos, interesting because they've had a few dramas with, I don't know what you actually said, but the fact that they're even in this situation after they've paid $250 million for their quarterback, stop laughing, mate, we're just rolling with the punches, is ridiculous, really. He come out and said that they're all good. Did you say that?
Yeah. So he came out and said, this is, I'm kind of repeating myself, but that's only because you weren't here, so it's hard for you to know. He came out and said that they're all on the same page and there's no animosity there at all.
Yeah, which I find that hard to believe. Watching, I put the video out on the socials and it was very aggressive. It wasn't just a, come on, mate, pull your finger out. There was a bit of aggression in the words. So, yeah. All right, yeah, we will move on because you have passed it. So,
yeah. The video I saw, obviously, I couldn't see the words that were actually being said, but yeah, there was definitely a lot of frustration. But it kind of seemed like he was frustrated himself and the defensive line rather than Russell Wilson. What was your take on that?
Well, they'd only just let a field goal in, so they stopped the touchdown. So that's a win, I guess, in itself, but. I don't know. He wasn't, they weren't happy. So I'm just seeing, making sure we are still live on the tube. We are. I'm back. We are. That's good.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It's going to be like, all right. We'll move on. It's going to be elite. Trust me. We'll get into the slate of games. There is one game currently playing and the Colts have just scored. I don't know if you saw that. So it's 16-10, Steelers way against the Colts in Indianapolis, 13 minutes to go in the third. Jonathan Taylor just had a rushing touchdown. Najee Harris has a rushing touchdown as well. So, yeah, good game so far in the third, just start of the third quarter down in Indianapolis or up in Indianapolis, wherever it is on the map.
Yeah, and both of us tipped the Colts. And the line was 2.5. Yeah,
we'll go through it properly on Thursday, but I have done our tips. I think we were both 8-7 at the moment.
So, for this week.
So I was up 8-7 against you.
So you might be hit by 2 points in the total.
Yes, I think so. Because you did the total, didn't you? So we'll talk about that Thursday. But it did come down to a 0.5 difference between the Philly and the Packers that would have put me up by an extra couple. But that's all right. That's all right.
All right. So I've already ran through the Bills game. If there was anything else you had to touch on that.
Did you? Well, you got you especially.
Yeah, mate.
No, it was a good game. Well done. Well done by the Lions. Good. Effort by the Lions, I guess. No one really gave them a chance when the line was like 10 or something. So, yeah, good game by them.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the next game we had the Giants losing to the Cowboys. It was 28-20. Prescott went for 261 yards, 2 touchdowns. Elliott had 92 rushing yards and 1 touchdown. And Lamb had 106 yards receiving.
CD Lamb has been huge the last few weeks. I reckon it's about 3 or 4 in a row. He's gone over 100. But I reckon the Giants, probably slightly disappointing. People were hoping for a bit closer of a game, but Cowboys just getting the job done and going out ahead of the NFC East, I want to say, I think.
Yeah, watching this game, it seemed like Lamb was doing a lot more than what the stats say. I think really helps the Cowboys get this one for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I say go ahead, they are still behind your Eagles, but they're moving up in the stands of the NFC East. I know Harry will get
next game we had.
Yes, here you
go. Next game we had the Vikings take care of the Patriots, 33-26. Jones threw for 382 yards and 2 touchdowns for the Patriots. Cook rushed for 42 yards, and Jefferson received 9 times for 139 yards and 1 touchdown for the Vikings.
Mm. 131 touchdowns, that's a big game.
Yeah, I didn't say that.
Oh, must have skipped. Anyway, this was another pretty good game. The Vikings come home strong with a wet sail, you might say, to run over the Patriots, but they were right into it in the last few minutes, and it was a big defensive stop by the Vikings that got the job done. So, yeah. Vikings, I think they can actually wrap up the NFC North this week with a win, if the Packers and the Lions lose. So that's pretty big, pretty early in the year.
Yeah, for sure. Very early in the year, but it'll be good for them. Next, we had the Browns take care of the Buccaneers, 23-17 in an overtime victory. Brady threw for 246 yards and 2 touchdowns. Chubb rushed for 116 yards and 1 touchdown. And Godwin received 110 yards and 1 touchdown.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to watch this one?
No, a bit of a surprise in overtime too. So the Bucs were cruising. They were up by a touchdown, and then Browns come home late to send it to overtime. And then, Cooper with a long catch to set up a Chubb touchdown in overtime. So I was a little bit surprised about this. So I thought the Bucs would comfortably get the job done. So a good win for the Browns before they get back to Sean Watson this week. So it kind of keeps them in the hunt a little bit.
Yeah, so they're 4-7 at the moment. So they're still there, still sniffing around.
Still sniffing around. They're not completely out of it yet. So, yeah, interesting.
Next we had Maxey's Bengals take care of the Titans, 20-16. Tannehill had 291 yards. And how are we doing this? P. Ryan? P. Ryan? Is that correct?
Yeah, let's go. I'm pretty sure it's P. Ryan, yeah. Not Perrin, like I would have said.
Yeah. P. Ryan rushed for 58 yards, apologies, and 1 touchdown. And Higgins received 7 times, 114 yards, and 1 touchdown.
Yeah, he played pretty well, T. Higgins, with Jamar Chase still not quite back. I'm imagining if he was close this week, he must be coming in. This coming week, but I was a little bit surprised that the Bengals were such favourites. But true to form, they went down to Nashville and got the job done. So a good win for them. That puts them, I think, in a wild card spot for the playoffs at the moment. So at the start of the year they were one and four. So,
well, they're 7-4 now. So if they were 1-4, they've had a good 6 games.
I reckon it was either 1-4 or 1-3 at least. So yeah, it's a good 6 or 7 game stretch for them.
Absolutely. Next game, we had the Dolphins and Texans. This was that massive line. Do you remember what it was? I think it was like 14 or something. 14.5.
Yeah,
I think
there was two of them that were 13 or 14. Yeah.
Yeah, this was 14.5, and the bookies must have known because the Dolphins did it 30-15.
Which is pretty crazy. And they cruised the second half. They got 30 points at halftime, and then they just cruised.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely took their foot off the gas for that one.
Yeah.
Next, we had the Bears at the Jets, and the Jets took care of this one comfortably. It was 31-10. White threw for 315 yards and 3 touchdowns for the Jets. Montgomery rushed for 79 yards. Wilson received 5 times, 95 yards with 2 touchdowns.
Mm. This is the one that we weren't sure if Justin Fields was going to play. It'll be a different game, but he ended up missing. So Jets ran away with it pretty comfortably in the end. Mike White, I said that he played a pretty big game in his first one last year, so. I'm presuming you'll hold a spot for next week.
Yeah, for sure. We did discuss that last week, and we're curious to see on how he was going to perform. And well, throwing 315 yards and 3 touchdowns is a pretty good way to guarantee your spot for the following week.
Yeah, that's it. Absolutely. And like they're in wild card contention too. So if he comes in and plays a good, you know, 5 or 6 game stretch, like he could see himself play in the playoffs with a fair chance too. So
yeah, so the Jets are surprisingly at 7-4 as well. So they're doing
Bills. Yeah, tough division with the Bills and the Dolphins as well. So they're pushing shit uphill, but you know, all you can do is keep winning and they give themselves a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. Next we had the Falcons and the Commanders. The Commanders took care of this one, 19-13. Mariota had 174 yards, 1 touchdown. Robinson Jr. rushed for 105 yards. And Zach Tuas received for 5 times for 91 yards. Is that correct? Was that right?
I have no idea. Zacchaeus? I'm going to leave
that Zacchaeus
one.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
At least no it's idea. Both of us this time.
Yeah. We'll just say Zach.
So, yeah. Yeah, so the Commanders now pull away to 7-5, which I don't think anyone really saw coming into the season that they would be doing quite as well as they are.
No. And again, just keep doing enough just to win and get the job done. So, yeah. No.
Next, we had the good Broncos and the Panthers. And this is the game that we saw the big blow up with the with Denver. The Panthers took care of this one quite easily, 23-10. Darnold threw for 164 yards, 1 touchdown. Foreman had 24 carries for 113 yards. And Moore received 4 times, 103 yards and 1 touchdown.
Yeah. Definitely the Broncos suck. I think that's the main thing we got out of this. The Panthers are, 2-3 since they got rid of McCaffrey or something like that? So, or 3-3 maybe? So they, for what everyone thought was a get rid of everything and let's try and get some draft picks in, they keep winning. So that's really hurting their draft picks going forward.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess when you're playing against a Denver team that's slowly falling apart, you might sneak away with a win or two.
Yeah.
Next we had a
Denver, which is interesting. Yeah.
Next we had an incredibly close game between the Ravens and the Jaguars. Excuse me. The Jags got this done 28-27 with a 2-point conversion on their final touchdown to pull themselves ahead.
Yeah.
By 1 point. Lawrence threw for 321 yards and 3 touchdowns. Jackson for Baltimore rushed for 89 yards. And Jones received 11 times for 145 yards.
But look at that last quarter. Oh, no, you're back. 18-15 in the last quarter alone. Like, there's games that aren't 18-15. And is there? Yeah, 19-13. Like, that's a huge last quarter just by both teams. And you're right, 10 seconds to go or 11 seconds to go when Lawrence's 2-point conversion was huge.
Yeah, and the next game was the Chargers and the Cardinals. Same story, another 2-point conversion for the Chargers to get it done. So it was 25-24, and that was similar. It was in the final. I don't know if it was the final 2 seconds in this one, but it was definitely at least within the final minute.
It was late in the game, at least.
Yeah, which is absolutely huge for the Chargers. Herbert threw for 274 yards and 3 touchdowns. Connor, the running back for Arizona, carried 25 times and 120 yards. Hopkins received 4 times, 87 yards and 1 touchdown, also for Arizona.
Yeah. Yep. Good win for them. And the Cards played better with Kyler Murray in the team, but good win by the Chargers away from home.
Yeah, and another little sneaky 2-point conversion, which we love. Next, we had TC24's Raiders versus the Seahawks. Another overtime victory. The Raiders seem to love taking games to OT at the moment and getting it done. So they won 40-34. Smith, the quarterback for Seattle, threw for 328 yards and 2 touchdowns. Jacobs, the running back for Las Vegas rushed for 229 yards and 2 touchdowns, and McCaff received 11 times for 90 yards.
Yeah, I was still here. I just had a phone call. That's why the phone disappeared. But Jacobs, 229 rush yards, but he also got, I think, nearly 80 receiving yards. So he went for over 300 yards by himself, which was a huge day. And he had a rushing touchdown, 86 yards, I think it was, rushing touchdown to finish it in overtime. So huge day for Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, he was definitely, in my opinion, the man of the match for that game. He, especially that last touchdown in OT to seal it. It was an incredible run.
Yeah. Huge game.
Next, we had the Rams at the Chiefs. The Chiefs got this one done quite easily. It was 26-10. Mahomes threw for 320 yards, 1 touchdown. Pacheco carried 69 times. Yeah, 69 yards, 1 touchdown. And Kelce received 4 times, 57 yards, 1 touchdown.
I don't think there's much to say about this one. The Rams are going backwards and the Chiefs are just doing enough to doing what they need to do to get the wins, I think.
Yeah, so Chiefs are at 9-2 at the moment and 5-1 at home, which is dominating. Pretty incredible season.
Yeah.
Next, absolutely. We had the scoreless Saints against the 49ers. 49ers did this 13-0. Did you catch this game at all? I didn't actually watch this one.
I saw bits of it, and the Saints were moving up and down the field pretty well, but then they had, I reckon Kamara had 2 fumbles. They had 2 or 3 turnovers. Like, they were moving the ball and would get close to the end zone, but then just couldn't score. And the 49ers, I think it's 4 weeks in a row they haven't let anyone score in the second half, and obviously the whole game for this one, but in the whole second half, I think it's 4 games in a row they haven't let them score. So their defense. But there was a stat that came up during the game which was interesting. They're the worst defense on 3rd and short and 4th and short, but the best defense overall. So if you get them into 3rd and short, you can keep moving the ball, but they stop you 3rd and long too often that it's not really a problem. But yeah, some huge plays by some their offense wasn't great, to be honest. Like, they lost Mitchell during the game. But, you know, 13 zips a win. So I don't think 49ers fans are going to care how they get it.
No, win's a win at the end of the day. Speaking of wins, the next game we had was my Philly Eagles taking care of business in a high-scoring, thrilling game. It was 40-33 the Eagles' way against the Packers. Jalen Hurts had an absolute day out. He threw for 153 yards and 2 touchdowns. He rushed for 157 yards. It was a non-stop running machine. And Watson for Green Bay received 4 times for 110 yards and 1 touchdown.
Yep. Do you have anything you want to say about it? We can just move on if you want
to. No, we can talk about it for as long as you want. We can talk about this for the whole rest of the episode. So when Hurts actually ran for that 157 yards, he set the Eagles record for rushing yards for a quarterback. We spoke about it a little bit earlier. We didn't go into too much detail. Rodgers actually went off in the 3rd and your second string quarterback, Love, came in. He ended up actually throwing a touchdown in that. I think it was the 3rd or maybe it was late in the 4th.
In the 4th to Watson, 65 yards.
Which is an incredible pass, and it seemed like, I think it gives hope to a lot of Packers fans the way that he came out and performed, especially like coming in after Rodgers went off. Like, they're big shoes to fill, and he just seemed to go out and do exactly what he was meant to do. Obviously, it just wasn't enough against Philly, which isn't surprising, them being the best team in the league at the moment, for a second-string quarterback to come out against that squad and do what he did. Was, I think it was really impressive, and it's going to be a good takeaway for Green Bay.
Yeah, we are. I don't want to, you know, make excuses. We're pretty banged up, so I'm actually relatively happy with how we played and how we kind of stuck in the contest. We were in it right to the end. If we made a stop at the end, we gave ourselves a chance, but a pretty big kick by, I don't know who your kicker is, but 50-odd yards right near the end of the game, just to make it that 10-point margin. just kind of put it that little bit out of reach, and then we went down, scored a field goal, and then, so Rogers, his thumb has given him a lot of grief. He's got a it's come out, he's got an avulsion or avulsion in the thumb, so it's completely snapped. So now it's just compounded by this rib or oblique injury that he's got. So the fact that we hung in, I was pretty happy with. And our bet, we had a joint bet. We had two separate bets that kind of, they didn't really go close. But our joint bet was really close, especially at halftime. We were almost home. And then Jalen Hurts just decided not to throw the ball to AJ Brown anymore, and we missed it by 20 yards. We had the overs. The overs was 36, I think, and it was, or 40, and it was nearly at halftime, nearly done.
Yeah, and in one of my leagues, I think I had Jalen Hurts to rush for something like 50 yards, and he did it on one play in the first quarter.
Had 100 yards in the first quarter.
Yeah, in this game at the start of the first, like after Philly got those two touchdowns pretty much back-to-back. I've got an ad playing in the back of my ears.
That happens.
Sorry about that. So after the first two touchdowns, I was like, oh, this game's like well and truly done and over. But then Green Bay came straight back and got two backs straight to him in the first quarter, which is incredible. And the kicker you were talking about before was Jake Elliott for Philly. And it was a 54-yard field goal, which is pretty huge.
Yeah, it was a bomb. It was clutch. It was real pressure. He misses that one. We had the ball, I think, about the 45, 46-yard line, like, and going only down by a touchdown. Like, it could have actually been a real exciting finish. But realistically, it was a good game. That's one takeaway I can get out of it, at least. We were in the contest, and we 300, what did we figure out? 360 yards rushing or some ridiculous stat like that. It was, we just couldn't stop Hurts. Congratulations to him, mate. It was good.
Yeah, it was only like 10 short of the Philadelphia record, which was set in like 1948. So it would have been good for us to break that record now in like more of a modern day era and a different way that they play the game. And it would have been great through against your Packers, but to come that close is something to still be proud of. And it was. It was a good game, and it was an entertaining game. And I'm glad you actually put up a bit more of a fight than I was expecting.
Yeah, and like I said, the line was at 6.5, and I had the Packers plus 6.5, and you had the Eagles up minus 6.5, and it was 7 was the difference. So that's leveled us up for the week. I think we're both 8-7. Like I said, if the Colts get the win, we'll be 9-7, which is not a bad picking week, really.
Yeah, it's something to be pretty happy about. It's not our best week.
Yeah, it's probably more you should be happy than me.
Yeah, it's not your best week, but it's close to mine.
Yeah. But picking the line is very tough. So I think if you can go 50-50 picking the line, I think you've done pretty well, regardless of who you are.
Yeah, picking the line's always tough, but that's why we do it. We love these tough things, don't we? Just like we love the tough questions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially when you said, like, there was two that were, I think they both got over, but there was a 14.5 and a 15 line, and they both hit. They both got it. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, which is crazy. Obviously, the bookies know a lot more than we do.
Yeah, they know stuff. They know stuff. All right, mate. Actually, we'll give a little bit of an update in this live game before we wrap it up. The Steelers, 3 minutes to go in the third, are still up 16-10, and they've got the ball 4th-and-2. So I'm not watching it, so I'm just getting this off the computer. 4th-and-2 at Pittsburgh's 15. So I imagine they're probably punting that one. So tight game heading into the last quarter. So let's go watch that one, I reckon.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we will hopefully fix these internet issues, or someone's crashed into a pole or something around my house. But we will be back on Thursday. I don't really think we have much to say about it. I don't know what games we've got coming up this week, but we will see you on Thursday, Danny Webb. And maybe we don't wear the same uniform on Thursday.
I thought it was compulsory. I thought you said every Tuesday we've got to wear the same shirt. That's what you text me. Like, you're just trying to act tough in front of the fam. Sorry for anyone who was watching live for me lagging a little bit there when T-Mac dropped out. that was well and truly above my pay grade as the work experience kid, but I did what I could. Sorry if there was any little bits of delay. I was just wasn't sure if we're going to keep on going or not, but we managed to push through.
I'm just stoked for the way you handled yourself. I'm going to go back and watch it and maybe get a little bit of a chuckle, but yeah, the internet just decided to not work. But you stood up, so well done, mate. Good work, Aaron. I can get an applause thing happening here, I reckon. Actually, cheering. Why not? Oh, it's in preview. Oh, it's all going to shit. We're back. Yes, no. Well done, mate. Good work.
Just like
now I can pretty much...
All going to shit.
No.
All going to shit just like majority of this episode, but that's good. Just like every other week.
Yeah, correct. Correct. It doesn't matter. But. All right, mate. You can find us on all the socials. Everyone knows where it is. I guess it's time to wrap this week up or this day.
Man, you got some editing to do. I promise you that.
Oh, yeah. And I've got a busy enough day as it is, which is perfect. But I'm not sure what's your day look like Thursday, do you know?
Freeze a bird at this stage.
All right. So I imagine about midday, 1 o'clock for those who want to watch live. Watch you live maybe by themselves.
Yeah. Watch me just do a little solo show.
Yeah, perfect. All right, mate. I will see you then.
All right, catch you, mate.